Hey everyone, it's me, Reed Galen. As you may have noticed, I don't host the Lincoln Project podcast anymore, but I'm so excited to share with you my brand new show, The Homefront. On The Homefront, you'll get the same incisive discourse about the pro-democracy movement from the smartest, most driven people in the fight today. If you're listening to this episode on the Lincoln Project podcast channel, I invite you to subscribe to The Homefront on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows. I want to say thank you to all of you in the pro-democracy movement, and I look forward to continuing our American journey together. And now, The Homefront. Welcome to The Homefront. I'm your host, Reed Galen. Today, I'm coming to you solo, just to share some thoughts and perspectives as we are here 46 days from Election Day. It's hard to believe that we're this close, and in many ways, the next 46 days will take longer than the last year have, but that's the nature of politics. I'm always interested in campaign season, guys, as I've been through it so many times now. Somebody asked me how many decades I'd been doing this, and it turns out I've been doing it more than three decades, which is hard to believe because I don't feel like I'm that old. But it's interesting is that when you start the stretch run into campaign season, it's the heat of August. And by the time you get to Election Day, everybody is wearing sweaters and hats. We're deep into the football season. People are thinking about the holidays. And so it's both a seasonal and a physical and a political transition that that I've been doing for a long, long time. And the last 9 years have been something that I don't think I could have imagined. And I don't think any of y'all could have either. And so just wanted to spend a little bit of time today thinking about why it's so important to remember what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. And frankly, who we're up against. And I know that you guys often don't need a reminder, but I think it always bears repeating that if we expect the worst from these people, we'll probably never be disappointed. So let's start off at the top with a little, it would be funny if it weren't true. In North Carolina, the guy running for governor called himself a black Nazi. That's in addition to a guy who had a regular porn habit back in the 90s and has been posting, I guess, for over the years on all sorts of weird, strange message boards. So you've got Nazis and you've got someone who doesn't appear to hew to the family values that I think the evangelical right would expect. But of course, they're all really weird in their own ways. And I think that's another thing that I think that some enterprising reporter could probably write a Pulitzer Prize winning book on is the number of instances, and they are increasing, near as I could tell, of sexual abuse of children by senior members of the evangelical church, whether it's coaches, teachers, pastors. It is a scandal like that of the Catholic Church that I think is developing before our eyes, and clearly there is something seriously amiss. Let's talk about Bobby Kennedy Jr. He is now admitted to, in some respect, having an inappropriate relationship with a reporter. Okay. This is not a guy who's unfamiliar with inappropriate relationships, whether or not that's with women who aren't his wife or animals. And if Bobby weren't enough, now there's another filing as of this morning as I'm recording this, that Matt Gaetz was at a party with underage girls, which I think had already been reported, but again, not surprising. So the question I want to ask my Republican friends are these the people you want to sit at the table with? That's part one. Are these the folks who represent your values? And remember, guys, as Republicans, unlike Democrats, Republicans fight campaigns and political battles in the context of values, not necessarily issues. What means something important to you? Does someone here represent how you see the world, how you feel about the world? And so I would ask whether or not it's North Carolina, whether or not it's Trump's newest and most favorite endorser and surrogate and soon to be head of the NIH and the CDC and everything else, Bobby Kennedy, or Matt, am I Beavis or am I Butthead Gaetz, do these people represent the values that you represent? Are these the people you want in positions of authority and public trust? Now let's move on to the next people sitting at this table. And those are the folks who would harass Haitian immigrants in a small town in Ohio for the sin of coming to this country legally, integrating into the community, becoming part of the melting pot, as we used to call it, getting jobs, doing good work, sending their kids to school, being upstanding members of the community. And now they're being harassed. And they're being harassed, and it's had an effect. The city hall has been shut down for bomb threats. The schools are continually shut down for bomb threats. This is not okay. the KKK is marching, right? Is that the person, that guy who carries a Nazi flag, or the guy from January 6th who wore the Camp Auschwitz sweatshirt? Again, to my Republican friends, are those the people you sit at the table with? I don't think they are. I don't think it is the kind of people you would associate with in public, or frankly, in private, because I would like to believe that as an American, as a decent American, as a freedom-loving American, that you would not want to associate yourself with those people individually, collectively, or frankly, politically. And so that's not what, now what we're seeing. Also, before we move on from immigrants being harassed for no reason, over in Pennsylvania, there's a small town, Charleroi, southwestern Pennsylvania, that also has an immigrant community who's moved in and helped transform parts of what was a town of people leaving. And now they are being harassed for the sin, again, of having come and been part of the fabric of a community that desperately needed some more fabric, some more people to bring it together. And so, guys, this is not going to end between now and Election Day. In fact, I think it's going to get worse. And so let me switch gears about what we're facing in the next 46 days. So let's go back. 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, the Donald Trump people probably had a meeting without him, because it's impossible probably to have a meeting with him, to say, okay, we know he's going to run again, or he was already running again, but it's going to be really difficult for us to win against Joe Biden. And remember, their whole campaign was predicated against running against Joe Biden. They know that he can't get to more than 45 or 46% electorally of the vote, right? There's just too many people that don't want to go back to that. And frankly, too many people that never wanted to go to that. And so knowing that, they had to find a way to fill that gap, to erase that delta. Because remember, guys, that American elections are not, you know, they're first past the post. Whoever gets most votes wins, regardless of whether or not they get to 50%. So what did they do? Back to Bobby Kennedy, right? Here's a guy who's got pictures with Roger Stone and Steve Bannon. He runs as a Democrat against Joe Biden in the Democratic Party. But Biden and the party won't bite. They're not going to get into the bear pit with Bobby. And so frustrated, Bobby says, okay, well, I'm not going to be a Democrat anymore. I'm going to run as an independent. And this is probably something, guys, the Trump campaign didn't expect. They probably thought that once they couldn't get him to take the bark off of Biden within the Democratic Party, that he'd just go away. But he didn't. I think he got a taste of being pseudo famous again and couldn't let it go. And so now he's out there running around as an independent. But the problem for the Trump people is they don't know, in the context of a general election campaign, whether he's going to hurt or harm them. I've been saying for, you know, the better part of a year that Bobby was going to harm them, because his belief system is in line with Trump's almost completely, not at all in line with Joe Biden or frankly any normal American. So you had him, and they had him out there until they thought, oh gosh, this guy's going to hurt us. And they had to bring him in the fold, and they made him whatever promises they needed to. But then you had groups like No Labels, right, out there saying they were going to run a third party candidate, which we saw from the get-go was going to be more harmful to President Biden than it was going to be to Donald Trump, because there were enough Democrats who could say, okay, I'm for a, you know, a pro-business candidate. Eventually, they couldn't figure it out, which Rick Wilson and I told them at the beginning of 2023 they were never going to, and they didn't listen. But ultimately, through the good works and hard works of many different groups that came together, No Labels finally realized they couldn't do it. Now we have Jill Stein, who is famously, you know, if she's not a Russian asset, she plays one on TV pretty well. There's, again, a picture of her sitting at a dinner with Vladimir Putin. Mehdi Hassan interviewed her just the other day to ask if she was going to call Vladimir Putin a war criminal. She refused to do that because of the butchery that he's unleashed in Ukraine. And then you have Cornel West, who, remember, guys, was supposed to be the Green Party candidate, but didn't want to do the work necessary to become the Green Party candidate. So Stein had to step back in. And now he's going to be on the ballot in a few places that could matter. And again, this was wholly devised on the part of MAGA and the Trump people to say, okay, how do we pick off votes here? How do we pick off votes there? Because they knew straight up one-on-one against Joe Biden, it was going to be very difficult, again, pre-debate, for Trump to win. Now against Harris, they're in a panic, as they have been since she got in the race, because they don't know what to do. Their whole campaign was, Joe Biden's older than me. You know, he's lost a few steps, many steps. And, you know, the whole idea of Hunter Biden's laptop and the Biden crime family was all an idea, guys, to make Joe Biden as bad as Donald Trump, that it allowed for otherwise normal people to say, it doesn't really matter who I vote for because they're both crooked, right? And this, guys, they're very good at this, and they take years to put this stuff together, and I'll get to that in a second. And so now what you're seeing is they have to amp up the crazy. And I think you've really seen the crazy amp up since the debate between Vice President Harris and Donald Trump, because even Trump in his lizard brain knows how badly that went for him. And so whether or not it's Ohio, whether or not it's any of the other stuff that you're seeing and you're hearing about, it's going to get far worse before it gets better. And so I see this campaign really rolling out in two phases. There's between this moment and when the polls close on November 5th, and there's the moment the polls close to January 20th, 2025. And remember back in 2020, we said that when Trump was already saying the only way he could lose was if it was rigged, which he said in 2016, both against Hillary Clinton and in the Republican primaries. And so they're going to do everything they can to throw sand in the gears to not steal the election necessarily, although they're going to try that in Georgia, but to make enough people wonder what really happened that Trump and his people can go say, well, who knows who won? How can anyone know? And back in 2020, we said that this campaign wouldn't be over on Election Day. It wouldn't be over until Joe Biden took the oath of office on January 20th. That holds today. This campaign is not over until Kamala Harris takes the oath of office on January 20th, 2025. And we've already seen stories out of Georgia just the other day about the fact that election officials, Trumpy election officials in Georgia, have been working for nearly a year on how to determine whether or not they could avoid certifying an election that Trump lost, whether or not they could do things to make it more difficult for people to vote. You know, there's the very famous now Larry David whole season arc about getting arrested for handing water to people in Georgia in election lines, right? Like, guys, that's going to happen. We're going to see very, very long lines this year, not only in Georgia, but across the way. That is going to be something that is, I think, probably indicative of a good day for Kamala Harris. But again, we should not underestimate the fact that there will be poll watchers on the Republican side who are there looking to intimidate people, looking to tell people, oh, the polls have already closed. They will do anything, guys. If January 6th was any indication, that was the beginning of something, not the end. And I think it might be tougher now because the people that Trump is communicating with, they're not lone wolves, right? They're a pack of wolves who live separately, if that makes sense, which is they get their marching orders from QAnon, from Trump, from the internet, from Dan Bongino, whoever it is, and they know what they think they're supposed to do. And my fear is that they're going to go do whatever it is they think is necessary to make sure that Mr. Trump wins again. And so, guys, I think that's where you all come in directly, which is, you know, I know talking to one of the leaders of the campaign in Pennsylvania, they need 5,000 poll watchers, 5,000 Democratic poll watchers, or I'll call pro-democracy poll watchers. You know, guys, if you live in Pennsylvania, sign up. I need you to sign up. Go to the Pennsylvania Secretary of State's website or go to the Harris campaign. I'm sure you could find the information. Of course, you can always go to jointheunion.us and find out. But guys, we need every phone call. We need every door knock. We need every text message and every postcard. There is going to be a couple of $1 billion spent on this campaign, everybody. Most of it on broadcast television. Don't get me started on that. But the point is, the difference between $10 million more or less on broadcast television in Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania or Arizona is not going to be the difference. The difference is going to be us. The difference is going to be on the margins of us convincing 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 voters to either vote for Kamala Harris or say, you don't have to vote for Donald Trump. Remember, our Republican friends owe him nothing. They owe him nothing. And we need to remind him, and it's going to be mostly him, that he doesn't have to vote for Donald Trump. In good conscience, he can leave it blank, like 50,000 voters did in Wisconsin, like more than, I think, 20,000 voters did in Georgia in 2020, right? An undervote is just as bad for Trump as anything else. And so that is something we need to think about, guys. We can and will do this. And you can live anywhere and get involved, right? Guys, this is not the pre-internet age where if you lived in California or you lived in Washington State, you could watch from afar, but you couldn't get involved. There are mobilize links all over the Join the Union website that tell you where you can participate, how you could participate. participate remotely. The other thing too is I think we forget how important person-to-person, friend-to-friend, peer-to-peer contact is. If you have friends in these states who are undecided, get on the phone. Don't badger them. Just say, I need you to do this. This is for the good of the country. This is for the good of your kids. And look, speaking of the kids, I was at the University of Pittsburgh last weekend. And I'll tell you, the kids are all right. So many of the kids we spoke to, we were there about an hour, hour and a half. First of all, beautiful campus. I hadn't been there in a long time. So many of the kids, they were registered to vote. They had their plan, right? They knew exactly what they were going to do. And my guess is most of them are going to pull the lever for Kamala Harris. Also, great to see the next gen kids out there and the Project 2026 kids out there registering people to vote. It was a lot of enthusiasm. At the Easton, Pennsylvania field office, there were more than 100 people there. Guys, there is real enthusiasm out there for the Harris-Waltz ticket and for the pro-democracy ticket up and down the ballot. But we, as you're listening to my voice, will make the difference. And when you go to bed on election night, I hope, like me, although I'll be up all night, I hope that when we wake up on November 6th and we see that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have been elected and are now president and vice president-elect, respectively, that we can say we did all we could when the time came. And so many of you listening to this who have listened to me for so long have done all you can over the years. And for that, I can only say thank you. So now I'm asking for 46 more days, guys, 46 more days, a month and a half, right? 6 weeks. We can do this. We will do this, but it will take all of us. I know I say it all the time. I'm not going to stop saying it. Right, guys? Repetition matters, right? Get out there on the doors. Get on the phone. Get on the text. Write your postcards. Talk to your friends. Make your own plan to vote, right? If you can vote early, vote early. If you can vote by mail, vote by mail. If you want to go to the polling place on election day, that's fine. But remember, every vote that we can lock in early makes those people on the ground in these states, it makes their job easier. It makes their targeting easier. They know they can take you off the list as a voter. They don't have to go after and talk to you anymore. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap there. Before I go, please go to jointheunion.us and sign up for any of the volunteer opportunities we have. And while you're there, if you have a couple extra bucks to spare, please consider a contribution. Keep us on the road. Next weekend, I'll be in North Carolina. The weekend after that, I'll be in Michigan. If you have interest in coming to those events, please go to the website. You can find it all there. As always, you can find the home front on Substack. Please go there. Twitter and TikTok at Reed Galen. Instagram and Threads at Reed_Galen USA. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If there are people you know that listen to the old version of the show that haven't found us again, tell them about it. Follow the show. Rate 5 stars. Guys, every review keeps us up in those ratings. And the higher the ratings we are, the more people will find it. This is a discussion I'm so glad I get to have with you again. I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Everybody, get out there and do your part, and we'll see you next time.